Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ezra, chapter 8. Ezra, chapter 8. That's before Nehemiah and Job. If you get to the book of Job, turn back a few pages, you'll find it. Amen. Ezra, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 18 through 22 together. Now, there's some interesting Hebrew names in this, so hang in there. If you slaughter it, nobody else is going to know because they can't pronounce it either. I'm not sure I'm going to not slaughter it. Amen. Ezra 8, 18 through 22. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahli, the sons of Levi, the sons of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah, of the sons of Meraiah, his brethren, and their sons, 20. Told you these names were tough, amen. Also the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed and for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him of a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers, his horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. Skip down to verse 31. We'll finish on that verse together. Verse 31. You ready? Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And let's pray. Father, please, would you bless the preaching of your word tonight? We're a needy people. Lord, we had visitors here this morning in Sunday school and in church, and Lord, we have new folks here tonight. We have folks that just stand in need. Lord, we all stand in need of what you have for us. Help us to listen. And I know the weather's been hot, and Lord, it's been a busy day, but you still have a truth for us that we need. May we listen to you as we preach in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. It is said several times in the passage here in Ezra chapter 8 that the hand of God was upon them. I realize it's said just a little differently each time. It says the good hand of our God was upon them. The hand of the Lord was upon them. The good hand of our God is upon them. I long for the hand of God to be upon Grace Baptist Church. I do. Folks, I beg God for it. I really do. Say why? Because without that, what's the use of having church? There's churches all over our country that met today. People showed up. They paid their money. They sat through a little sermonette that the preacher got while he was wearing his dress, sucking a cigarette. But it didn't mean anything to them. It didn't do much for them. I long for more than just, well, grandma and grandpa were buried there, amen, Brother Gus, and I'm going to go there because that's where they're buried. We'll dig them up and bring them somewhere where God's hand's upon the place. I wondered for a long time what it meant to see the hand of God upon a church. I can say this. I've seen the hand of God upon a church. I've seen the hand of God upon a church pastored by a man named Dr. Jack Hiles, like I have never seen it before. I watched the hand of God as Brother Hiles went to heaven and God moved us and moved my dear friend Brother Owens, and I watched the hand of God upon the ministry there. And may I say it, I've watched the hand of God upon Grace Baptist Church for the last 8 months. And I mean that every day I've seen God's hand. And I want to keep it there. I don't know about you, but I sure like it, and I want to keep it there. Preachers and people that know church work, I talk to regularly. I got a call this week from a man, and he said, Brother Bush, he said, I've I've had to make a change in where I go to church, and I'm between churches right now. This is what he said, and this is a good man. He said, I want to send my tithe to your church, and I want you to use it. Whew. That's humbling. That's humbling. He said, I haven't found a church here, and I want to be obedient to God, and I know your church, God's hand is upon it. This is a man from many, many states away from here. Man that's never walked in the doors of this church. I just sat at my desk. I opened up my Bible and pulled out the outline I'm preaching from tonight and said, oh God, please, would you keep your hand there? I have pastor friends who say, Brother Bush, it's a miracle what's going on there. Keep the hand of God on your church. And I said, keep or get? They said, oh no, it's already there. You keep it there. I long for that to be true. You see, there's a couple things that statement means to me. Come here, Brother Matt. When you're close enough for God to touch you, that means you're close. That means you're close to Him. When you're close enough to God for Him to reach out and touch you, I like being that close. I don't know about you. I realize when you get saved, God says He puts you in His hand. And He covers you with the other one, but guess what? He says there's a special closeness to some, though. There's a special closeness to some. Thank you, Brother Matt. Make a statement, not one person can keep the hand of God on a work, including the pastor. The hand of God on a church doesn't rest on these shoulders only. I can only get it on our church as much as I ask Him for it. But there's about 160, 170 other folks that's got to get it too. I don't care how close you walk with God. If the pastor's the only one with the presence of God and the hand of God on his life, the work will not have the hand of God on the work. It's got a better chance. I'll give it that. You see, it's true that God's man is the heart and the voice of God, but His people have to desire His hand upon them. There's a price that comes with it, though, just so you know. Not every church has the hand of God on it. The church or a church that has the hand of God on it, you're going to face a lot of opposition. And by the way, not opposition from other churches, not opposition from people. I'm talking about opposition from the devil. See, a church with the hand of God on it's going to give the devil fits. I've got about a half a dozen or so preachers that I contact every week early on Sunday mornings. I sent a text to them this morning and I said, just give the devil fits. You should have seen the responses I got back. They were ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun this morning, amen? And I love it. One of my dear friends texted back and he said, Brother Bush, thank you. In days when sometimes it's pretty discouraging, you make it pretty exciting to go to the pulpit when you're a little nervous. I said, been there, done that. Said, I know what it's like. Folks, it's true. Isaiah 61:1 is still in the book. And the Spirit of the Lord God was upon me. That wasn't written to preachers. That was written to every Christian. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. What does it mean to have the hand of God on us? What does having the hand of God on Grace Baptist Church do? Number one, look at Ezra chapter 7, look at verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all the request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. A church that has the hand of God upon it knows how to get answers to prayer. Did you notice what it said? It said that he was granted his requests. That means prayer. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time God answered one of your prayers? Other than, Lord, help me get up in the morning after I go to sleep. Amen. Resurrect me. Lord, thank you for the food. Past that, folks, to get the hand of God upon you, you're going to spend time in prayer. You're going to walk with your God. You're going to talk with your God. You're going to have people ask you to pray for them. Do you really pray for them, or is it just a cliche, a Baptist, oh, I'm praying for you, brother, and you never speak their name to God? I promise you, I pray for you. I was here by real early this morning, before 6:30 this morning, I was here. And I unlocked the doors and I walked through and I prayed for our nurseries and your children. And I got here and put things down in my office. And I walked through and I prayed for the different Sunday school classes. And I walked through and I kind of know where everybody somewhat sits and prayed for you as I walked up and down the aisles in this room. My son got here early and was in the teen room praying at every chair in there this morning, early this morning. Can I tell you why? Because we believe in having the hand of God upon us. If you're in need, do people come to you for prayer? My dear friend up in Maine, Brother Rick Walters, called me last week and he said, Brother Bush, I got a man in my church, blind man. He was cooking, had a fire, burned over 40% of his body. He said, would you please pray? I was honored. I was honored. Say why? Because he believed that our church knew how to get a hold of God in prayer. Several times this week, Brother Barnes in Maine called me or texted me and said, Brother Bush, have your church pray. Have your church pray. This is it. This is it. We've been out. We're doing all we can. We need God's people to pray for us. He texted me. He was waiting me when I got done preaching this morning because I don't have my phone in the pulpit. Amen. And I picked it up and it said, God answers prayer. And he gave me the message. I love that. See, when you have the hand of God upon you, you get answers from God. Some of you wonder why God doesn't answer your prayer. Maybe you just need to get close to him. Next, the Bible says in Ezra 7, look at verse number 28. And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. The hand of God will give you strength. Say, how do you keep going, Brother Bush? The hand of God. Humanly, I can't make it, but with the hand of God, I can. When the burdens get heavy, how do you make it, Brother Bush? I beg God for his hand, and guess what? He gives me his strength to do his work his way for his people. I'm not doing it for me, though I need it. You realize every sermon you hear, I've preached to myself many times over. By the way, sometimes I don't like them either, just so you know. You think it's bad when I'm preaching on your sin. Wait till I'm preaching on mine. It doesn't feel real good at all. Trust me. Can I tell you something? Some of you need strength. Then get close to the source of all strength, the God of the universe. Oh, I just don't have any energy to do anything, Brother Bush. Are you walking with God? I have found that the people that walk closest to God have generally the most energy. Now, kids in that size body have more energy than anybody. You know, naps are wasted on the wrong people. The kid, you know, you're saying, wished I could bottle all that, and then you put him down for a nap. What's wrong with this picture? And then you got the retired folks. They can nap whenever they want, amen? Us in the middle there, we don't get a shot at this thing. Now, some of you sleep through church, so it's okay. But, when you need more strength, I find this. I know this. I worked with Jack Hiles clear up to the last day he worked. And that man was 74 years old, and he was still hauling the mail, let me tell you. Vigorous schedule. Can I tell you why? The hand of God was upon him. Everybody kept saying, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. He couldn't slow down. He didn't know what slow down was. Can I tell you why? Because the hand of God was upon him. He said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, he burned out, but it took him until he was 74. Guess what would have happened if he'd have slowed down? He probably would have died a long time before then. He wouldn't have lasted longer. He needed the hand of God upon him for strength. And by the way, he was a strong man. Next. Ezra chapter 8. Look at verse 18. We read it earlier. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding. When you have the hand of God upon you, God will give the man of God and your counselors the right answers to your problems. I'm always amazed in counseling that God seems to give me wisdom that I didn't know I had. Say why? Because you need the right answer, and God gives me the right answer to fit your need at that time. I just believe that. It's not because I have all the answers. Believe me. There's times those answers come out of my mouth. You walk out of my office and they say, I got to write that one down. Where'd that come from? Say why? Because that is God imparting his wisdom to me to meet your needs. That's how it works. Now, some of it's 25 years of experience in working with people and all the different things. But there's other times where it's like, there's no way there's an answer for this. But guess what? There is an answer for it. And when God's hand is upon us, God will give us the men, the counselors, the ladies to give you the right answer at the right time, the right way. I said it this morning. Some of you have a and I didn't say it this way, but some people have a perverted sense of what the term a multitude of counselors is. That doesn't mean I have a question and I go ask Brother Logue that question and get his answer. Go ask Brother Gus and get his answer. Ask Brother Barnes and get his answer. Ask Brother York and get his answer. Ask Brother Ron and get his answer and decide, okay, I got about five or six guys here I just mentioned and I like Brother Ron's best, so that's the one I'm going to take. That's not seeking counsel from a multitude of counselors. If I've got an electrical question, do you think I'm going to ask Brother Ron Howard? No, he's a pharmacist. And he's probably as colorblind as I am. Forget it, man. I'm going to go to one of these electricians if I've got an electrical question. Say why? Because he knows more about it than me and I'm not touching it. Amen? Wait a minute. You think if I've got a question about medication, you think I'm going to ask Brother Barnes? Yeah, ibuprofen and a pair of pliers or a hammer. It'll fix it, amen? No, I'm going to talk to Brother Ron Howard. I'm going to talk to Mrs. Smith. They both work in the medical field. It's called getting a board of counselors in the field of study that you're looking for. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If I have a car question, do you think I'm going to ask Brother York? He'll just tell you put duct tape on it, amen? Wait a minute, I'm going to ask somebody that understands mechanics. Say, what's your advice on cars? I can tell you where to take it, amen? You don't want me working on your car, amen, Dad? It's not the thing for me to do. I can tell you where to take it. But may I say this? That's what a multitude of counselors is. There are, you choose people for different areas of your life. Now, I think the man of God can help you choose the right counselors if he's not qualified in those areas. But it's not going from person to person to person to person to person to find the person with whom you want the right answer from. I don't care how many preachers you ask, eventually you'll find the answer that you want from somebody. Then you're going to say, well, it's all God's fault because I had so-and-so tell me it was okay. Quit blaming God for you. I hear this regularly. Oh, I don't want to go see the preacher because I already know what he's going to say. Maybe you don't. And maybe it is you just don't want to hear the truth. Moving on. Verse 22. Ezra 8, verse 22. I love this. The Bible says, "For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and of horsemen to help us against the enemy in our way." Look at the last part of the verse. "The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and wrath is against all that forsake him." God's hand is upon us for protection. Can I tell you something? God will protect our church. God will protect our church. And by the way, we don't have to fight our enemies. His hand will fight it for us. Somebody just last week, Brother Stoltz, he said, "How's the battle going?" I said, "What battle?" I said, "Is there a battle going on?" I said, "The only battle I got is with the devil. Past that, I don't know anything." He said, "Well, don't you have churches that don't like you?" I said, "Do you?" Well, I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I'm going to tell you something." I said, "I'm so busy right now. If there's a battle going on, I don't know about it." I said, "I'm so busy doing the work of God. I don't have time to worry about petty battles." "Well, are people saying bad things about you?" I said, "I don't know. I don't have time to listen to them." I said, "How do you have time to monitor a battle?" I said, "Get off your chair and go do something." I said, "Get out and start winning souls and start helping your people." I said, "You'll find the battle subsides real fast because you don't even know what's going on." I don't know if I have a battle or not, just so you know. I'm too busy to worry about what's going on out there. I got people to win. I got people to reach. I got you to help. And I'm not worried about anybody else. "Well, how's so-and-so doing?" I don't know. I'm too busy doing what I'm doing. I don't understand how preachers have time to go do all those things. I know, Brother Ed, preachers don't do anything, amen? That's what you think. Come follow me around for a week. I'll wear you out before Wednesday. Now, I'm not against man taking some time off. I'm not against that. But I know men that need to take some time on. Good night. If they take more time walking with God than they do worrying about what everybody else says, they wouldn't worry about what everybody else says. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, I believe God will protect us from self-destruction too. Next. Oh, are you ready? Turn to 2 Chronicles. Go back towards the New Testament, just a few pages. Or the Old Testament, sorry. Man, I got so much I want to say, and I'm trying to hurry to get you out on time. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Also in Judah, the hand of God was given to them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord." Can I tell you how a church gets unity? They get the hand of God upon them. Listen to me very carefully. The liberals in the world tells you, you need unity for unity's sake. That's wrong. You don't get unity for unity's sake. We don't unify because we have to save Grace Baptist Church. We don't have to save Grace Baptist Church. This is God's church, not your church. We have to have unity so that we can walk together close enough to God to keep his hand on our church. One of the benefits of our church having the hand of God upon them is unity. And I believe we have unity. That means we're going the same direction with the same spirit for the same reasons that are not selfish so that we can be close to God. Do you long to see people saved? Do you long to see new people added to our church? Do you long to help the poor? Do you long to help those that have needs? Do you long to see God use you in a way like you've never been used before? That's how you get unity. Next, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, just a little ways to the right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink. We could stop right there, amen. That he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Watch this. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Having the hand of God, look at me, having the hand of God upon you means you will enjoy the fruit of your labor better. Can I tell you why the world is miserable at work? Because they don't have the hand of God upon them. That's why they go out, eat, drink, sleep around, carouse, live like a bunch of animals, and it doesn't satisfy. And a saved man walking with God can work the same job shoulder to shoulder with somebody and enjoy everything God gives them. If you would get close to God, you would enjoy your work in the secular world better. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor better because of the hand of God upon you. Oh, I got to get up in the morning. I got to go to work. Man, I get to get up tomorrow and go to work. See, yeah, but you don't work around a bunch of lost people. You don't think I work around a bunch of lost people? I work with all your problems. It's even worse. Lost people, we expect them to fight. I got Christians fighting with each other. I got to fight the devil. I know what it's like. I've been out in the work world. I've been out in the shops. I've been there. I know it's hot. I know it's filthy. I know it's vile. I know you got to put up with a bunch of nasty stuff. But may I say this, if you'll get the hand of God upon your life, it'll be a whole lot better for you. You'll be able to endure it a whole lot better, and you'll be able to enjoy the money and the power that God gives you through all that much better. Then how do we get it? Glad you asked. I have about 5 real quick statements, and we'll be out. Number one, this is real hard. You ready? How do you get the hand of God on your life? Number one, ask God for it. Think you can handle that? Bible says you have not because you asked not. When's the last time you asked for God to place his hand upon you? When's the last time you said, God, I want to be so close to you that you could touch me? When's the last time? And you wonder why you don't have it. You've got to ask God for what you want. So many times we expect God to read our minds, and though he can, he wants you to ask him. You know, there's times I know what my children want before they ever ask me. I'm just waiting to see if they'll ask me. The older they get, the less I prod them. Say, why? Because they ask for more expensive stuff. There's times I know what they want, but I want them to ask me. Say, why? Because it's the right thing for them to do. What makes you think that God is going to give you just because of who you are? Why didn't you just ask him? Well, he might tell me no. But he might tell you yes. He might want you to keep on asking him. Just so he can spend time with you. Next. You doing okay? Next. This one's going to hurt. Yield to the Bible and Bible counsel. If it's in the Word of God, do it. If the Bible counsel from a biblical counselor tells you this is what the Bible says and God says do this, do it. I'll help you. I'll carry your burdens. It amazes me how many people don't listen, though. I'm sorry. I can make announcements in church, and before church is over, I got 3 people asking me about announcements that I made, and if they just listened, they would have heard. People don't listen anymore. You're so busy with your own conversations and in your own little worlds and talking and this, that. People don't listen anymore. And then when you show them from the Bible what they're supposed to do, they say, well, I don't like that. Do you think I like everything in the Bible? Brother Williamson, I don't like everything in the Bible. There's things I'd rather do sometimes, but guess what? It's in the Bible. I got to do it. I have found out when I don't like the results far more. Folks, to get God's hand upon you, these are His words. If you'll do His words and read His words, you have a better chance of Him keeping His hand upon your life. That's why I make such a big deal of the Bible is the words of God, not man's words. Ezra did not write the book of Ezra, God did. Solomon didn't write the book of Ecclesiastes, God did. These are God's words. They were settled in heaven before those men were ever born. God gave them to those men word for word to put down so we had something to live by. I'll be honest with you. I don't think these men wrote these words that God gave them and said, oh boy, I just love this, I love this, I love this. Do you think David enjoyed penning the words of God about the sin in his life? You think he enjoyed writing down the story of the adultery he had with Bathsheba, the killing of Uriah, and the death of the baby that was involved? You think he enjoyed that? You think he enjoyed writing it down for thousands of years later for us to look at? Everybody doing okay? Yield to the Bible. Yield to biblical counsel. Number three, go soul winning. Go soul winning. You need to tell people about Jesus Christ, period. I realize it's not always easy to get around you older folks. It's not easy to go out in 100-degree weather and knock on doors. I understand that. But there's something you can do. There's somebody you can tell. There's somebody you can invite. All of you go out to eat, give the waitress or waiter a gospel tract and invite them, amen? Talk to them. Why are we so embarrassed to talk about Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He. Now you know why I don't sing in church. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Hey, we get all excited and rambunctious and wound up in church over it. Boy, we'll scream and holler. You walk out those doors and you're scared to death to tell anybody. Why? They're the ones going to hell, not you. They're the ones that ought to be scared of you. I walk in and they say, there's the preacher. I walked into Sheets recently. And there was a new girl behind the counter. And she said, oh, you're the one with the pictures back here. I said, pictures? She pulled out a stack of tracts. I mean, they're everywhere. I said, yeah, but it keeps the mice away, doesn't it? She laughed. It's kind of scary, let me tell you. Subway provided a multitude of food today for you ladies, amen? I was over there with Brother Lowther working on the deal for that thing, and the lady says, oh, yeah, you're the one with the picture back here. I said, from the post office? And she said, no, one of your church things. I said, whew. Go soul winning. Tell somebody about Jesus. Next, we've got to have unity of direction. Folks, this is an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, Bible-believing Baptist church. I don't know how else to say it. I know I don't get real wishy-washy. I know I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I realize every once in a while I make mistakes. Guess what? Sinful flesh just like yours. But we're all spinning on this earth together. We're all headed to the same place. We all ought to jump in and just do our part. We're not all going to agree with everybody all the time. Guess what? Someday we're going to build an auditorium. I don't want people fighting over what color carpet we put down. Guess what? Nobody voted on what color carpet we put down. Well, that's not totally true. I took Brother and Mrs. Ecker with me. Because I'm colorblind. I wanted to make sure we were close, amen? But they didn't vote. Yeah, I'm not blaming them. It's my fault. I picked it. Don't like it? Tough. I liked it, amen? Now, wait a minute. You might not like what colors we pick. Can I tell you something? I know people that get upset and leave churches over what colors are chosen. I've watched it happen. Who gives a flip? I'm sorry. Okay, it's not the colors you would choose at home. This isn't home. This is church. Well, I like this better. Good. Bring it to the preacher. Let me approve it. And if it's in an area where you have it, you can paint it that color. But if it's not your area, stay out of it and don't worry about it. Guess what? We don't have many rooms to use around here yet. Every once in a while, things aren't going to be where you left them. Oh, I can't believe it. It's church, folks. Somebody didn't ask if they could use this. Don't leave it. Sorry. You're going to come in one of these days and somebody's going to be sitting in your seat. What are you going to do? You're going to get mad and trot yourself out of here and find another chair. I have walked into church after church after church around America. I've been speaking in churches. Amen, Brother Ed? I've walked into a church and had a woman bawl me out because I was sitting in her spot. I moved to another spot. Then I got done preaching that night. I saw her after church. I thought, she's going to come up and apologize. She said, next time you come, don't sit in my chair. I said, yes, ma'am. I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. I really did. Now, wait a minute. I know people that would leave church over something like that. That's not unity. Can I tell you something? You're not always going to agree with my decisions. That's okay. There's times I don't agree with my decisions. Not everything is perfect. If the Lord works it out for us to buy this property or some other property, it's not going to be where you want it. Unless it's in your backyard, it's not going to be the perfect spot. And I understand that. Have you ever tried to find a property in a building for a group this size for growth that's not $14,000 million? And I'm not kidding. You don't just go out and buy property. It doesn't happen that way, especially when you don't have a whole lot in the bank. It's not easy. I was telling the deacons yesterday, guess what? They just sold the Martinsburg Mall. And the company that bought it hates churches. If we'd have got that thing in the mall, we'd been done. God protected us. Amen. Now, at the time, I was pretty discouraged, just so you know. I may not have tried to show it to you, but I was not a happy preacher at that moment. Man, I thought we had the cat's meow by the tail, and we were giving it a good shot, amen? And all of a sudden it went, pow! That hurt God. Guess what? He was protecting us. He was protecting us. Let's keep the gossip out of this church. Let's not talk about people. Not talk about people's sins or problems. By the way, people in this church or people out of this church. If somebody has a problem, guess what? They're a sinner just like you are. Shut your mouth. That's not real nice, but guess what? Neither's talking about it. I get tired of hearing everybody, well, did you hear? No, I don't want to. I'm too busy. I don't need to know what so and so did. Was it good? No, then don't tell me. Next, and I'm done. Now, the last way that you get God's hand upon you is to help the poor. It's our job to help poor people. Look at me. The Bible says in Proverbs that he that helps the poor lendeth to the Lord. That's a banking term. That means when you help a poor person, you just gave God a loan. Guess what? He pays back with interest. Whew. That means it's our job to help poor people. Listen to me very carefully. I don't think you're wise helping poor people through unsaved organizations. And I'll say it very cautiously. Now, I realize many of you work in shops, and my dad used to work in the industry, and every once in a while a guy would get killed or a guy would get hurt to where he lost his job real bad or something, or lose an arm in a machine, and the guys would take up a collection at work for somebody like that. That's different. But if you're going to give to the United Way, they support killing babies. Be careful. UNICEF is not a Christian organization. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's just some things you shouldn't be giving to. Just be wise. You say, well, what about? Come see me, I'll tell you. I could list them, but it's not worth our time right now. But may I say this? What's wrong with just helping somebody that's poor? That doesn't always mean that you just give them money. Sometimes they need some time. Sometimes they need some training. Sometimes they just need help. I helped a man this week. You know what? I felt good about it because I lent to the Lord. And look what God's doing. Look what God's doing. Say, why do we need God's hand, Brother Bush? To help you grow. To help our church grow. That's it. I want to be as close to him as I can get. When I pray, I want to say, dear God, and I want him to say, what you need, son? What you need, son? I have some dear friends on the face of the earth, and I'm glad I have their phone numbers. Mrs. Barnes was in the office this week. I'll bring up a name again. Brother Sally called the office. Those of you that know Phil Sally, he is a wonderful man. I was out of the office and she took the message and she texted me. She said, Brother Phil Sally called you. Need you to call him back when you get a chance. He said he's not running out of air and not dying, so don't hurry. If you knew Brother Sally, you know what that means. It was no emergency. Just give him a holler when you get a chance. I'm not out of breath and I'm not dying. It's okay. Just an old country boy. You know what? I'm glad that he felt like he could call me. I was glad when I talked to Dr. Anderson a week ago and told him what God was doing here. He was all excited. Where's Donnie at? Donnie's former pastor out in Arizona. He talked to him last week and said, Dr. Anderson was just out here talking about your church. Good night. I'm not calling him for that. I don't want to be known. I'm too known already by some people, and I really don't need any more known. Trust me. But may I say this? I do want God's hand on us. Yes, sir. I want our church to grow. I don't know what God's going to do numerically. That's not my job. It's just to reach every person we can reach. I said it this morning. I can someday see a fleet of buses, but it's going to be a while. Bless you. But until we start filling our cars, why would he give us buses? We got to be faithful. That, now, so for some of you, that means go have four more kids and you're okay. I'm not doing it. I'll go pick up converts. Amen. It's cheaper. Whew. And a whole lot easier. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of we've got to go to it. We just got to make it happen. How about it? Do you want the hand of God upon it? Do you want to go to a church where there is no hand of God? It's just a social club? Just an exercise of futility, Catholic in mentality. I went, put my time in, I feel good because I did what I was supposed to do, get in, get out, and get it over with. Or do you want to go where the hand of God is on it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know exactly what gets you in the message, but I know what touched me in this message. And I want the hand of God on my life. I want the hand of God upon our church. I want the hand of God upon our musicians as they play. I want the hand of God upon our musicians as they sing. I want the hand of God upon our Sunday school teachers as they teach, the assistant teachers as they help. I want the hand of God upon our men in the parking lots. and on those that work the doors and greet in every area of our church. Is the hand of God upon your life? The good hand of our God was upon us.